Okay, this hour we'll take your phone calls with Meg Blackburn-Losey, author of The Children of Now Evolution, as we talk about indigo children, star kids as well. That has always fascinated me, what a subject that is. So we'll do all this when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Meg Blackburn-Losey with us, and we're going to take your calls this hour. Night goes by fast, Meg, doesn't it?
It's flying, George. It does. I just looked at the clock. I can't believe it.
Where do people pick up your book, The Children of the Now Evolution? I by the way, spotted it on Amazon, so I know it's there.
Yeah, it is. In fact, they've got a really good price on it right now. All your favorite bookstores. I've got 9 books. Everybody knows me, and if they don't have it, they can sure order it for you. Barnes & Noble has it. They have it in their online store as well. And I think pretty much anywhere from what I'm seeing. So. And, you know, this isn't a new book. This is a wake-up call. And I'm not about selling the books. I'm about getting the information out. So buy a copy for a friend or your child's teacher or caregiver or even the babysitter and start educating the people around you, because that's how we make a difference, one person at a time.
Would you have any qualms about raising a child in society today if you're a young up-and-coming parent?
Well, I think it's terrifying in some ways, because society has got such, you know, let me put it this way. I travel to Atlanta a lot. I teach a class there, and I'm not going to mention any names, but there have been situations there where a child acted out, the parent swatted them, and that child's parent was picked up for child abuse, reported, and publicly ostracized, I mean, for just disciplining their child. It's gotten really bad. People have this idea of what their children should be, you know, particularly in the bigger cities. I get around a lot like you do. And these kids are overscheduled. They've got too much on their plate. And they're being, like I said, they're being taught by rote, which bores the heck out of them. And so we need to revamp that. When we are able to recognize that we have a legitimate phenomenon on our hands, it's an evolution of humanity. It's not just some weird, very cool situation that we're dealing with. It is a huge, big deal all the way around. And when we can get more people in society aware of that, I think then it will be much easier to be a parent, because right now it's hard, because you don't know what's okay. You don't know what's okay or not okay. And I've even heard of people having social services show up at their door and telling them that if they don't drug their kid, that they're going to take them away from them. I mean, I've seen the gamut, George.
That's unbelievable. Terrifying. It really is. Let's go east of the Rockies. Vitaly's with us in Gary, Indiana. Hi, Vitaly. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hello. Yes. So I have a question for the children. Seeing spirit, is it like, is it born with seeing, or is it developed? Because for me, it's not good for spirit to follow child. So if there's way to prevent, I was wondering if you know if there's way.
That's a very good question. And, you know, when somebody has sight, it's hard to prevent the seeing. I'm one of those people, so I can talk to you from experience. But you can learn how to filter. And what I did was I said, look, I only want to see, hear, know, or feel whatever it is I need to know, because otherwise there's just too much out there. You know, that's what Meg did. If you don't want to see them, that's hard, and you can turn that part of you off. It's a choice. But the biggest thing to remember is that they're not all bad. There's two different types of spirits that will come. Ones that have been to the light and have come back, and the other ones that have not yet found their way home. And so I'm not sure what you're seeing or if a child you have is seeing. If I knew more about the situation, I could probably help you more specifically. Do you want to tell me more?
Can people, he's not there now, but can people email you through your websites?
Sure. My email address is DRMEG, Dr. Meg, no periods or anything, @ spiritlight.com. That's spirit, LITE.com. And I can save them a few emails. If you want to know if your child is a crystalline child or a star child, I have free lists all you got to do is click on my homepage for whichever you're looking for, and they're right there because I knew that a lot of you would be curious, and I made sure that there's a full list of traits there. So,
give us the traits, for example, the star kids. Does age have anything to do with it, or when they were born?
The star kids, well, some of us are star kids, let's face it. You know, we call ourselves star seeds.
Yep, I think we are.
A lot of DNA that is questionable, but the ones that I'm talking about specifically came in, I don't know, you know, more around the late 90s, they were coming in droves, and that's when I first started to notice them, and they tend to be kind of slim built. And when they're younger, they grow into it, but when they're younger, their head's a little bit on the large side, and they're very earth-oriented, very caring about the state of the planet. They're natural little healers, empaths, intuitives, and they're also very, very connected to the animals, and they love to invent things. They're just the coolest little kids. I had this one kid, George, who was 7 years old, and he came to see me with his mom. I always got the ones that nobody could fix, you know? Well, they don't need fixing. They just need understood.
Sure.
And this little guy comes walking in. He's 7 years old, and he's in red feet pajamas, and he's carrying this book the size of my coffee table, and it's all about the history of aviation. And I'm thinking, wow, he really likes planes. That's a good place to start. So I started talking to him, and I said, hey, you know what? My dad flew planes in Roswell, New Mexico, which is where I was actually born. Now we know where I get that. But I told him what year. He says, what year was it? And he pulled out his book, and he told me the entire history of the planes my dad flew. He told me all
about
how the hydraulics worked, what kind of fuel it used, how much it held. Unbelievable. And so then I put him on the healing table to kind of check out, make sure there wasn't anything wrong, because I sure couldn't see anything going on. And the next thing I know, he's talking multidimensional reality to me in a way that I know to be extremely advanced. And he was right at home and so happy for somebody to talk to. That's a real star kid.
Sure is.
Yeah. And he knew his stuff. And it can be pretty mind-blowing when a real star kid starts talking to you. And they're all about inventing new and different technologies. They're just really interested in how to make things work differently and cleaner in our world.
Let's go to Wild Card, Bill in Irvine, California. Hi, Bill. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, that actually happened to my grandson. He was talking to his great-grandpa in the bathroom, and we really weren't anything like it. We're like, oh, yeah, okay, whatever. And then he started saying, well, we're like, what are you doing? What was he doing? And he was watching airplanes out the window, and that really freaked us out because my dad loved to sit in the backyard and watch the airplanes.
I'm sure it was quite true, Bill.
Yeah, and now we've had a couple other family friends pass away, and he says that he's seeing them.
Mm-hmm. That's very typical. Once they start communicating with those on the other side, more will come. And he just needs to know if they bother him too much or keep him awake all night, that it's okay if he tells them to back off for a while, let him get some rest. And it's really, really wonderful that you're recognizing that he is doing something. And, you know, also one thing you can do is ask them for details. This scares a lot of parents, grandparents. I think more grandparents are understanding because we're weird anyway. But tell them to ask questions, get details, and then a lot of times you can verify them, you know, because these kids also remember past lives. And if you get enough details, there are some wonderful stories, easy to find, that these memories have been proven. There was one recently about a little guy that remembered being, I believe it was on a Navy ship that went down, and he knew it. He called himself a different name. He said all of this stuff. He talked about his buddies, and they researched it, and sure enough, they found his sister, and they took him over there to meet his sister, and his sister was just floored at what this little guy knew. And nobody but her brother could have known that. You know, there are a lot of stories. So these are very real things. And the key is get details from the kids, but don't overtalk them because they lose interest really quick because for them it's normal.
Yeah, that's right.
And don't be afraid of it. Just ask, hey, next time Aunt Martha comes, ask her what's going on. What does she remember about when my mommy was little or when dad was growing up or those kind of things? And that way you can validate who it is and what they're talking about.
Next up, we have Carla in Clever, Missouri. Welcome to the show. Carla, you are on the air with us. Go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Nuri.
Hi, Carla.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
Years ago, I read a book by Arthur C. Clarke, who I think was he was so prescient about the future. And it was called Childhood's End. And I don't know if you ever read it, but it was about a civilization that contacted us here. And eventually, the children of the planet, the whole planet, started drawing away from their parents and becoming very evolved into something different. And eventually, they became pure energy. And that civilization was here to help them along in their transformation. And I see children all the time who are so bright. It's just unbelievable. And I know I sound like a kook, and I'm really sorry.
Nah, hey, I'm right there with you, sister. Go ahead.
If you're a kook, we're all kooks.
I wonder if maybe with all of the sightings and more UFOs and all of these different things that are happening, I kind of wonder if in these leaps in evolution that humanity's taking, I wonder if maybe our children aren't being prepared for something greater.
Mm.
Or maybe we're becoming something greater as a race.
Always a possibility there, Meg. Something bigger at stake.
Mm-hmm.
They were chosen.
I have a few ideas about that, but we don't have enough time to go there tonight.
Do you think that some of these children have been picked out on purpose? Selected?
I don't know the answer to that, George.
That's a tough
I often
one.
Wonder, but you know, I've been doing a lot of DNA research lately for a fiction book I'm working on with ideas about what she's asking about, and I have a different take on it. I've been talking to geneticists and people that have done genetic research, and what they're telling me, you know, we hear about junk DNA, and I wanted to know what that was. I wanted to know what the heck is it that they're calling that? Because I know that our DNA is what makes us work, and it can also express itself epigenetically by how it expresses through us or of us. And what I was told was very startling. When they set a DNA sample up, they do it in wax, and the wax hardens. And then that's where they see all the stuff you see in the cool TV shows where there's lots of little colors and bars in different places. Well, what they're not telling you is at the bottom of that wax, there's a heap of DNA that when looked at separately is not the same as what's showing up in the wax. It's like, I don't know whether it's riding piggyback or it's such a close frequency, it doesn't separate until it gets into that kind of a state. But there is definitely something going on with the DNA. And also at the same time, our DNA is changing. I have spoken to geneticists and even family geneticists about this. The DNA, a DNA strand looks like a twisted ladder. Okay.
That's right.
And it's the ladder rungs are pairs of amino acids. It used to be that in our generation, the adult generation, that when the information went along or around the DNA strand, it went up one side and then across and then up, you know, kind of literally. Then, in about the mid-2000s, the charges, the little charges of electromagnetic information that are running up and down the DNA, started to hop from side to side or skip several rungs of the ladder and then initialize new and different parts that had not been functioning before. Scientifically proven fact, straight from a geneticist. And so what we're seeing is not only do we have a lot more to draw from than we realize, we don't even know what that is, but at the same time, something really interesting is happening with our human DNA, and it's working differently. And they're also proving that it is sentient and it is consciousness, because they can take a strand of DNA and cut it in half and put the other half across town or halfway around the world, and if they stimulate one part, the other part will respond no matter what the location. Scientific fact. So, yep, something's happening here. I don't have all the answers. I have a lot of them. But I'm watching like everybody else and doing my best to share what I put together.
Let's go west now. Curtis is with us, Salt Lake City. Hey, Curtis, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Thank you. You really nailed my phone tonight.
I'll tell you what, Curtis, you're really, really muffled. We'll have Gina check your phone. Maybe we can get you a better line. Let's go to first-time caller Bob in Rockland, California. Go ahead, Bob. You're up with us. Go ahead.
Yes. How you doing? I'm a long-time caller, a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, thank you, sir.
You're very welcome. I've had you on for years. My granddaughter told my son, her uncle, that she had been playing baseball with her brother before she was born, and she told him when she had to leave, and he started breaking out crying, and she says, "Don't worry about it. I'll be seeing you very soon." And I was wondering if she had heard anything like that before.
Very often. Children are also coming back sooner than in a new life than we've ever seen before. A lot of like what I call fast turnaround, where they actually know they're coming or going, and they will state that. It's not quite the norm, but I've heard multiple stories like that. It's very real. And again, nothing to be afraid of. You know, it's not like somebody else is living in that body. We're just contiguous. We shed this skin. We do what we do on the other side. It's kind of like coming up from a deep sea dive. We shed all that denseness. We go back home. And then at some point, we decide it's time or not to have another lifetime. And the kids are turning around really quick. There are a lot of opportunities with a density of population that we've got. So we're seeing and hearing more of this than we ever did.
All right. Well, just stay with us. We're going to come back in just a moment. More final calls with Meg Blackburn-Losi. And, of course, that includes you. Her websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com and the book, The Children of Now Evolution. Well, next hour, we're going to talk about numbers. Are they evil like 666? Barnaby Rogerson joins us, so make sure you're part of that program. And we'll come back with final calls in just a moment with Meg Blackburn-Losi on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. We're with Meg Blackburn-Losi, and let's go right back to the calls. We did find Curtis again, so let's go back to him west of the Rockies. He's in Salt Lake City. Go ahead, Curtis.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, my son witnessed a UFO back in 2011. Linda Moulton Howe reported it.
Okay.
And about a year ago, he and I were having a discussion out on the front porch, and he said, "Dad, I'm a star child."
He just said that? Wow.
This is why I kind of feel strange about having this with you on the air, but I came in to this late and I heard Meg talking about it, and I was just remembering, and he had told me that a beings had come to him either in a dream state, and they said, "Hello, Star Child." Now, we're the predominant religion out here. We go to church on Sundays. I'm trying to stay rooted with my son. And I just want to be there for him. I don't exactly know how to do this, Meg. What should I do?
I can tell you're an awesome dad. And by the way, I love Salt Lake City. I've taught classes there a number of times. And listen, here's the deal. This stuff is real, and it has nothing to do with religion or belief systems or anything else. And with the Star Kids particularly, they often will say things like, well, that was pretty clear. But they will often have dreams where they're falling or they're in a white room or there are other beings there. And, you know, I don't want you to be afraid of this. What's happening is the kids are learning things when they have these experiences. And when they have these experiences, you're going to find your son just knows things. It's okay. It's not a bad thing. It's not an evil thing. What happens with these kids is, and with your son is actually quite common in this situation. And when they have those experiences, it's really important to just let them talk it out and even ask questions. And interestingly, with some of these children, their parents are having parallel experiences. So, you know, it's something that often goes from generation to generation. So I understand where you're coming from by where you live and what you said. And you guys do a lot of great genealogy and stuff. Maybe there's a way you can start looking at changes in genealogy or something like that. I mean, that fascinates me, that possibility. But don't be afraid of what's happening to him. It's a natural part of who he is. And if he knows that, he's probably having other experiences. Some star children and their families or family members are actually picked up and then brought back, and they don't remember that. And that may be that he's remembering something that you don't. I don't know, and I don't want to scare the heck out of you tonight. What I want you to know, it's very natural, it's very normal, and they're not hurting anybody in this particular type of situation. So don't be afraid for him. Just give him what he needs. He's going to be highly sensitive, and he probably feels a lot around him, okay? So you want to make sure that he gets out in nature a lot, or that he has a great dog companion or something else, or you know, you don't want to feel like he's broken, because he's not. Like I say, these kids are differently abled. They know things we never knew how to know because of the way that they're made. Yeah. And so take it easy. It's okay. Don't be afraid. Just listen to him and give him whatever he needs. He'll know what he needs.
Meg, all these kids seem to be upbeat, but have you heard the stories of the black-eyed kids?
Yeah, I have.
Oh.
And I that is an entirely different phenomenon.
Sure is.
They're spectral. They're not really human beings. And my sense is they're from you've talked to Daniel Brinkley. He's a really good friend of mine.
Yep.
And Daniel talks about the gray area that's kind of like a purgatory, only worse. And my sense is that sometimes that area bleeds into our world, and we see things like that. And so, and since our mind has no frame of reference for it, you know, we may get a rash of sightings of like those black-eyed kids or other things. I think really what that is a reality overlay. It's not a 3D phenomenon. It's a spectral phenomenon, or another dimensional cross, mm-hmm. you know, a crossing of dimensions temporarily.
Let's go wild again. Bruce, Asheville, North Carolina. Bruce, take it away. Go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hey.
Hi, Dr. Meg. How are you doing tonight? Great
Good,
show.
Good, Bruce. You're in my favorite place in the country.
It is nice here, I got to admit. And I feel a lot better now knowing I'm in with a good crowd when people call me kooky. At times. But my question is, you answered a lot of my questions already, but I have a beautiful granddaughter. She's 5, and she's got a great imagination, and she amazes me the way she picks up on people and all the surroundings around her. But I was wondering, what's a good way to maybe just ask her if she's talking to anybody or she has any friends at night without being, you know, too intrusive to her.
Actually, you don't really need to. She'll just bring stuff up as she needs to or if she has it going on. One of the things that happens when people talk about people, I start reading them. And she is definitely a crystalline child, and she's a really bright light. She's going to be very interesting as she grows up. So what you want to do is encourage her natural abilities and don't try to here's what happens. If you start asking them too many questions, they'll start telling you stories that aren't real because they think you're playing. And so you want to let these kids naturally evolve to you so that you can really get a handle on where they're at. You see the difference? Ask them what they dream about. That's something really good you can do. Or ask them what they learned today. A lot of times they'll tell you, well, I know that the teacher was in a bad mood because she just broke up with her boyfriend and something happened to Susie at home that she can't talk about. And Billy's really happy because he got what he wanted for his birthday. And by the way, I learned all about history, geology, whatever. You know, they'll rattle off the entire day. But they'll also rattle off in between some of that, those perceptions. So that's a good way. Just talk. The communication part is the number one most important part of the whole thing. Keep that kid talking. Let her know that whatever she does, whatever she sees, whoever she is just fine. None of these kids are broken. We're seeing a widespread change in humanity, and it's taking a lot of different faces right now, and it's speeding up. So, you know, relax and have a good time with her. You're her granddad. Spoiler rotten.
All right, next up, let's go to our first-time caller, Janet, in Bozeman, Montana. Hi, Janet. Thank you for calling.
Hi there. Hi, George. I work at night, so I love listening to you when I'm coming home. And so what was going on is that I was listening to your program starting at 11 o'clock here in Bozeman, and what Dr. Meg was saying is that I'm one of those kids, and I'm 56 years old.
you're part of the bridge generation, Janet.
Yeah. Well, when I was 3 years old, I was diagnosed as having retardation, but I've got ADHD and I'm dyslexic. And I'm also sensitive to spirits, and I'm sensitive to other people's emotions, which is really weird.
Well, it's weird. It's okay to be weird. Weird is wonderful.
Yeah, I know. Well, when I was in high school, I mean, because I was ostracized by all my fellow students by the time I hit high school, I said, screw these people, and I hate to say that word, because there's people out there that will understand me and like me just the way I am.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, truly back then, and I hate saying that, it makes me sound old, but
back way then.
Things were different, and what was different was not acceptable. It was frightening. And I have guessed that a huge percentage of people that were treated as mentally ill and even institutionalized were just people that didn't have the same kind of filters that most people had back then, you know. And when we start revealing different parts of us, then people get afraid. There's a lot of religious dogma about, you know, if it's not the same, then it's wrong. And there's a lot of other social kind of values that go the same way. I mean, we were told to turn away from anything or anybody that was different. Don't look at that. And after working with these kids, I've got to tell you, we need to look at everyone who appears to not be home, because you know what? There is something very beautiful in there. And there is a lot that's very beautiful about you. And it's okay that you're sensitive. And you're not broken either. You just had abilities people didn't understand. There are a lot of you out there.
Are a lot of kids taking a walk on the dark side, playing with Ouija boards and doing things like that?
Yeah, you know, the Ouija board is one of the most dangerous toys there is, because it can truly open a portal to any dimension. And dimensions are kind of like neighborhoods. Some are denser, some are lighter, you know. And sometimes with a Ouija board, you can get into the wrong neighborhood and get into real trouble because the door's open and then nobody knows how to close it. So, you know, kids are also doing things because they're trying to find their power, and they're committing acts based on fantasies, and nobody saw it coming. because it's all internal. And then you get a lot of them that are doing drugs or drinking alcohol or cutting themselves so they can feel again because they're so desensitized. And I've worked with quite a number of families that have dealt with teenage suicide, and it's heartbreaking. And those kids will often come in when I'm talking to their parents and, you know, from the other side. And it runs the gamut. The stories run the gamut. But they are not getting what they need. And there's a particular group when they get to a certain age. You know, that young fellow that shot all those people at Virginia Tech, he was a typical transitional kid. I wrote about them in The Children of Now, the first one. And he had been hospitalized. He had been medicated. He had been socially ostracized. And everybody said what a quiet kid he was. And then what did he do? He sent a press kit to the radio station or the local TV station that arrived 2 days after his event, of him in power poses with different weapons and doing different things. And he was one of those who had gone completely internal because nobody understood him. That's why we need the communication. That's why it's so important.
That is unbelievable work that you've been doing.
Thank you.
Steve in Albany, New York. Let's go to you, Stephen. Go ahead.
Okay. Tom is always asking me how I always get into the wild card line above everybody else. It's been sitting there for years. This is finally the explanation, and he's not there. The whole thing is, for years, I've been getting into your show using some of the abilities that I have. I am one of these children you've explained. And you've been explaining me all night long, and there's nothing I can add, really, because a lot of what you're saying is true.
Well, I'm honored. Thank you for that.
I was first approached when I was in my crib, and I can remember that day. They gave me sentience, which has lasted me a lifetime, and knowing things and being able to do things. And what you're talking about as far as knowing things and doing things is called the Ithera. And I've once got into it, and it's like being slammed out of a second floor window and landing on the ground. That's the only way I can say it. You do not want to get into the Akashic tables, because it is really, really painful. And
actually, it doesn't have to be, sweetie. It's about maybe how you're going about it or where you're ending up. It sounds to me more like you're in that kind of middle ground before you really get out. And if you get past that consciously, it's absolutely beautiful. And the Akashic records aren't like a room full of books. Energy, which everything is made of, records everything. So all of the information of everything that ever has been, will be, or is recorded in the construct of creation. So you've got to get past those denser levels, and that's where you ended up. That's where a lot of people go in their dreams. There's a lot of levels to that. Some are really happy and some are really horrible. But when you get beyond that, into the outer dimensions, you know, like the 6th, 7th, 8th, it's very heady. The information there is all about sacred geometry and fractals and how it all works together and the construct of creation and the meaning of pyramids and all of these different cool things. And then you go even higher and the energy is even more pure and you can embody that and bring it back into the world and learn from it. So don't be afraid of who you are, because if you approach these things from a place of fear, that's where you go. So it's got to be an intentional and joyful extension of yourself that goes out there. And that way you stay safe. And the other piece is, you know what? You're always in control of your experience. And if it's not okay, pull back. Say, no, I'm done. And it will stop. People don't realize that. Everyone has that free will to be able to say, no, I'm not going to do this. This is not where I want to be.
We have quick last caller with Tina in Sacramento. Go ahead, Tina.
Hey, Tina.
Hi, George. I've been listening to you for years.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm honored to talk to you. And Meg, good evening.
Good evening, Tina.
I caught I caught a tail end of you saying that children will tell their parents that they've chose them.
Mm-hmm.
And my son did that to me.
Good for
me. When he was young, he said, "Mother," he says, "I chose you." And I kind of looked at him, you know, I didn't really understand it, but I really started to think about it. And he's a very highly sensitive young man. Well, he's a young man now, and he chose horticulture. You know, so I was reading a little bit about on your website about children like that. So I was just wondering, I know you're talking about crystalline or star children.
He sounds like a star kid if he's really interested in horticultural. They're typically, they overlap in a lot of their traits, those two. But if he's in horticulture, he's all about the planet, you know, the plants, the nature. And did he tell you his name before he came? Did you know his name way ahead of time?
Yeah, it came right to me. When I was choosing names, it was right there.
Yeah, that was
you
him.
Know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way to do it. Hey, we're almost out of time, Meg. Would you give out your websites?
Thanks, George. It's spiritlight.com. That's SPIRITLITE.com. And there's a lot of good free stuff on there. It's a really big site. And I also have a site for the healing work that I teach. I can teach people how to access this stuff. And that's touchingthelight.org.
Super. Meg, thank you so much for being on the program. Up next, numbers. Numbers. We'll be back.